morning, church. Well, it's good to be here at the invitation of your pastor, Phillips, who I've known for many, many years. Actually, we first met when we were still single, you know. But somehow, when we grow older, we have our senior moments. And when I came in with my wife, I met Brian, you know, and then, of course, Frisu, and then Cynthia. I was an FDA staff worker before. That's how I got to know them. And wow, it's great to know that people are continually faithful to the Lord. Amen? That's a wonderful thing. Wherever I go and I find that people continue to stay strong for the Lord, it encourages my heart very much. And I want to thank God for that. Now, this morning, I want to speak on finishing strong. And the person whom I'm going to talk about is actually Caleb. So shall we turn to Joshua chapter 14 from verse 6 to 15. Let me read the word of God to you. Mine is from the New King James Version. Joshua chapter 14 verse 6. Then the son of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord said, to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses saw on that day, surely the land which where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now I am here this day, 85 years old." Not many of us are 85 yet. "And I'm as strong as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now therefore give me this hill mountain, of which the Lord has spoken in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I will be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. And the name of Hebron, formerly named as Kiryat Arba. Then the land had rest from war. This is the word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We ask, O God, that this morning you will speak to us from your word, that your word will shed light into our hearts. We pray that our hearts may be open to your word, that we may be strengthened by your word to continue to love and serve you always. We ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Are there students here? If you are students here and if you are in university, now Now, when you start a course, you aim to finish it, right? Or if you are working, you start a project, you aim to finish it. Now, you don't say, well, let's try. You know, don't finish also, never mind. No, definitely you want to finish the job that you started. Now, in life, it is not always the case that things come to a proper conclusion. Now, when SCM went to Seremban in 1997, that was where I was teaching in the seminary. When it moved to Seremban in 1997, I went to Seremban, and the first thing after the toll, after 1997, what would you see? You know, at Kumayan Square, there's this huge building there. It's left uncompleted. It was left uncompleted. It started very well. With a 1997 downturn, it collapsed. Didn't start. And of course, the good thing is that after 15 years, it got restarted. And finally, it got rebuilt. I'm sure that life has always setbacks as well. Successes, setbacks, etc. And how we deal with them and how we complete the job or how we finish strong is important. And this morning, I like to look at Caleb and look at lessons from his life which will teach us regarding finishing strong for God. Now, Caleb is one who has finished strong for God, and he is one of my favorite characters, actually. You know, and that's part and parcel why I decided to speak on him. Now, let me just trace three stages in the life of Caleb that will help us to understand how he started and ended. Now, the first time we see Caleb on the scene was when he was among the 12 spies, right? He was at Kadesh Barnea, and Moses sent out the 12 spies to spy out the land. And of course, they went through the land, they surveyed it, and they came back, and they brought a report. And of course, out of the 12 spies, 10 spies actually said, you know, we went through the land is flowing with milk and honey, it was fantastic. But, right, but, there were huge people, and we looked like grasshoppers to them. And of course, they spread fear. Spread fear among the people. So much so that the people were discouraged, so that the people rebelled against Moses. And it was into this situation that actually Caleb quietened the people. And we notice this in Numbers, actually, in Numbers chapter 13, verse 30. Caleb quietened the people before Moses. And he said, we should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it. Wow, he was confident that somehow, despite the odds, the people of God will be able to enter. And of course, the people answered, no, we will not be able to do that. They are too strong for us. And of course, they decided to go back. In fact, they complained. They complained to Moses, why have you taken us out of this land, out of Egypt, and to die by the sword? Our wives, our children. And they complained. And they got a leader and wanted to go back. That's a very sad situation. But Caleb Joshua stood firm. And why is it that Caleb was able to stand firm in that situation? Now, a rebellion happened. A rebellion happened, and the life of Moses and Joshua and Caleb was in danger. But they stood firm. And here we see, firstly, the courage of youth. The courage of Caleb's youth. Here he stood firm. Here he knew the Lord. How is it that he was able to express courage in the midst of great odds? Well, I believe he believed the promises of God. God had called him out of Egypt, and God had said, I'm going to give you the land, the promised land. And among the 12, he went and saw that it was good. And he believed that. And he believed that. And I'm sure that not only that, not only did he see and believe in the promises of God, but I believe that he knew the power of God. He experienced the power of God when God took the people out of Egypt into the promised land. You remember the plagues, you know, that God sent? It was not coincidence. He knew that God exercised his outstretched arm in power, bringing about their deliverance. He saw the power of God. And then when they came out, they came to the place of Sinai, and they saw the presence of God. And not only that, when they came out, they had no food to eat, right? And what did they do? As usual, they complained. Much like church members today, right? And also pastors, when church is not so good. You know, we complain. That's the first thing. Oh, we got no more food, no water. And somehow, into that situation, God provided water, manna, quail. And so you can see, all along the way, Caleb was able to see God's promises being fulfilled. God's presence there for them. God's provision was there for them. I think it is important for us that our courage is not in ourselves. Our courage is in God. In God who is able to carry us through. Amen? Does he sound so confident, right? I believe that God, we sang this song, right? God will carry us through. And God, indeed, is a good God. You know, courage is not the absence of fear. It is the ability to overcome our fears, our difficulties, by trusting in the Almighty God. The God who is able to lead us through. There will always be problems. You know, the biggest problem is that we look at the problem more than we look at God. I think we need to look at God much more. Often, we may be like the people of God. Often, mumbling, grumbling, etc. But I think when we mumble and grumble, it is hard to have a positive attitude to God. Right? When we grumble, very often, we only think about ourselves. But here, Caleb was thinking of the larger vision of the people of God entering into the promised land, receiving and inheriting all that God had promised. And I'm sure that's true for us today. Now, as Christians, we also have the promises of God, the presence of God with us, the power of God to strengthen us and to help us to be overcomers in the Lord Jesus Christ. I think we need to trust God. You know, trust God in all the difficulties of our life. I think it is true to say that those who bless God in their trials will be blessed by God through their tribes. I think it's important to cling on to God. So the next thing we see is not only the courage of his youth, but we see the consistency of his midlife. Consistency of his in his midlife. Now, after the rebellion, what happened to the people of God? They were to go around the wilderness for 40 years, right? You see, when they didn't want to go into the promised land, they lost the vision. The vision that God has for them. I think in the same way, often when we do not align our lives to the will of God and the promises of God, we will be like the people of God, having lost the vision in the wilderness of this world. And what do? We will go round and round in circles. And that's what happened to the people of God, going round and round in circles for 40 years. And I pray that we will not be like that. But this is where Caleb is a tremendous example. We don't see him complaining. We didn't see him saying, "Lord, it's unfair. You see, all the other people disobeyed you. I didn't disobey you. Why should I go around in circle 40 years, you know, the best years of my life gone?" Hello? If you were in Caleb's position, how would you be responding? You cry out to God and say, "Lord, I don't want to be part of these people." I think Caleb is a fantastic example whereby he's able to stay true to God. And he continued to stick with the people of God. Right or not? One of the hardest things is to stick with the people of God. Hello? I think you have your fair share. Every church has its ups and downs, and we all know that it's not easy to get along with the people of God, right? Now, how do we compare the life of Caleb with the people of God when they were in the wilderness? Now we know that in the wilderness, the people of God did not live exemplary life. Instead, they gone from bad to worse. Now, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul actually talked about the time when they were in the wilderness. All right? And then Paul actually says in verse 5 that with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. Now these things happen as examples for us, so that we do not crave evil things as they also crave. So Paul is actually saying, look, the people of God in the wilderness, they serve as an example for us not to follow. It's just like in the scripture union notes, is there a sin to avoid, right? After you read the Bible, then you say, is there a sin to avoid here? And I'm sure this is what basically Paul is actually saying. Look, do not be like the people in the wilderness. And what did they do? There are four things actually they did. You know, number one, we see, do not, in verse 7, do not be like the idolaters as some of them. The people sat down, eat, drink, and sat to play. They joined in the pagan feasts in that sense. They became idolaters. Idolatry. They went to serve other gods in that sense, you know. And when I look at that, it reminds me when Moses was a bit occupied in the Mount Sinai, they made the golden calf and they worshipped the golden calf. Perhaps we don't run after other gods, or, you know, in the sense, you know, perhaps we may have idols in our life too. idols. One common idol among Chinese Christians is the almighty dollar, right? It's true. Or if you talk to Chinese, you know, you're always finding money. It's true. That's what it is. And there's now, let me just say, there's nothing wrong with earning money and being rich. It is the love of money that is the root of all evil, right? You know, I think that's important to realize. Yes, God has blessed many people, many of us, to be rich. But let's be careful that it does not become our idol. Or our spouse can be our idol. Our children can be our idol. That somehow they become more important than God. That somehow we place their interest higher than God's interest. Now, I went for a seminar on preaching, and this pastor was actually saying, this person was actually talking about how in his church, as he had moved to a place, you know, and then there were members that came, and one leader of the church actually, when the children became teenagers, they wanted to play sports, etc. You know, I think it's Australia, and the person said, "Oh, you know, my daughter wants to do something on a Sunday. Well, we'll let her do it, and we will." Thursday be around, you know. And true enough, she went for the sport on a Sunday, and they came still on the church one Sunday. Then after they missed a Sunday, they came a Sunday, and as the year passed by, soon he was no more in the church. He was always with the daughter in the court. Later on, several years later, he came back to the pastor and said, "You know, now my children don't want to go to church, Mom. Now my children don't want to. Can you help?" You see, what has happened is that there is a subtle thing that has happened in his life. He's continued to put the interest of the children first. That we continue to love God. Loving God means also bringing our children to church. I don't know about you. I'm a fourth generation Christian at least. My mother would always tell me, number one, you marry a Christian. She's illiterate. No, she's illiterate. She tell me, you must marry a Christian. Number two, you must always go to church. Simple Christian, she hasn't got any education at all. Robert Stepper's daughter. But she loved the Lord. So let us be consistent in midlife. Here, for Caleb, it was not easy. He stood up against idolatry. And then, of course, in verse 8, 9, and 10, there was immorality. And immorality today is rampant. What is wrong, according to the Bible, is now said to be right. And also justified according to human rights. Right or not? And then, of course, in verse 9, they tested the Lord. No water, they grumbled. In verse 10, they grumbled. They grumbled. Grumbling and testing actually tells us that there is a dissatisfied spirit in us. So it's important that we are not like this. And here, Caleb is different. No, he was different from the people of God. Idolatry, immorality, putting God to the test, and murmuring and grumbling was not part of his vocabulary. Why is it that we find him staying consistent to the Lord? Well, in Numbers chapter 14, verse 24. Numbers 14, verse 24. it tells us Caleb had a different spirit. It can mean a spirit. It can mean attitude. As he followed the Lord, a different spirit that says no to idolatry, a different spirit that says no to immorality. I think those of you who are professional and who travel a lot will understand the dangers of immorality. When you room in a hotel alone, there are always temptations. So let us have a spirit that says no, no to immorality, or to putting God to the test, or murmuring against the Lord. I think one of the times when we will murmur against the Lord will be when we face difficulty. We will actually say, why Lord? Why Lord? And we get angry with Him. True, sometimes we do that. But more important is when we go through difficulties, and sometimes very painful difficulties. I think the question that we should ask is, what is it, Lord, that you want me to do from here? What is it, Lord, that you want me to do from here? You know, whenever God calls us to His ministry, it's not going to be easy. There will always be times that are tough, times that are difficult. I remember the time when the Lord called me to go and study full-time. I was in FES then, and after about 4 years, we went by faith. We went by faith. At that time, STM hasn't started yet. Went by faith to the UK to study. And I remember we had a group of people here and said, look, you know, why don't you specialize in this area, specialize in that area, and then we all come back together to serve the Lord, which actually a number of us did, you know. But during my second year, well, someone actually said, you know, why don't you do Hebrew and Greek and whatever, and I did. Oh, I had the most difficult time of my life at that point in time, trying to do Hebrew and Greek at the same time. And then, of course, my wife was expecting our second child. And then she was out of action most of the time. Those who are women will know, morning sickness, and she was out. And I could remember crossing the downs across Bristol and going back to Bandit Court, you know, where we were staying. And I said to God, Lord, you called me, and I thought it was going to be easy, you know. Why I have to learn Greek? Hebrew some more, you know. I tell you, it was tough. And then my wife was not well. And after lunch, I had to quickly come back. You know, we have a college lunch every day. And after that, really, I had to come back and take care of my little girl as well. And to make sure that things are all right. It was really tough. You know, looking back, I realized that it is to build spiritual muscles in our life, to be able to be overcomers, right? You know, parents love their children to do well in exam, right? So they give them homework. Homework is a problem to children, you know. Hello? Right on. My goodness, the children are looking at parents. Nothing wrong. But if you do the problems, like maths problem, and you do well, you can go to the next level, right? Yes, that's exactly what it is with problems and obstacles in our life, that God will bring us to a next level, that we can move on to the next level. You cannot fail maths 101, you cannot go to 102, right? You know, so we got to move from level to level. And difficulty is actually sometimes good for us. Now, actually, a lot of us face difficulty, but those of you who face difficulty in your work, you take it as a challenge. And when you overcome that by 10 years in the job, you become an expert, right or not? So you stay consistent, because according to Harvard Business Journal, if you stay in a job and you continue to work at it and improve, you become an expert in about 10 years. And that's true.
That's true. And so we see that we need to be consistent. And here, Caleb was consistent. And he continued to stick to the vision that God has given him. Now, of course, staying consistent is always tough. But let us continue to run that race. Now, some of us may be in that situation of trying to continue. Don't give up. Cling on to the Lord. Continue. And of course, in the passage that we read today, not only do we see the courage of youth, the consistency of midlife, but then finally, the culmination or the climax of faith in old age. The climax of faith in old age. And here we see that as they were going, as they entered the land, and in chapter 14, verse 6, Caleb came to Joshua and said to him that Moses has promised this land to me. And this is something which I really love about Caleb. He actually, at the age of 85, right? We read like 85 years old. He says, now, the Lord has kept me alive these 45 years. He was 40 then, and now 45 years later, you know. And I'm as strong today as I was then. Give me this hill mountain. Wow. 85 years old. You know, sometimes I wonder, can an 85-year-old person be as strong? Very often, if we look at the eyes of people who are today, maybe not so. But every time I look at Caleb, it reminds me of my grandfather. My grandfather lived to a ripe old age of 95. Now, at the age of 70, you know, he owned some rubber land in the old days, and he used to tap rubber and do all the things that are necessary, and then he has to go cycle to the town at least 6-7 miles, you know, all done manually. There's no tractor, whatever, no machine, and he does it manually. And he's really, very strong, you know, really strong person because of the hard work. In those days, he had to carry the things to even to town. There's only walk wagon. You cannot, you no cars at that point in time. There's a walk, you know, there's walk wagon or bicycle in the old days, you know. Walk wagon, I don't know about you, I walk to school, you know, every mile, every day, 1 mile, I still remember. Instead of one until, you know, secondary school, you know. Right, he was 70 years old. Then he was carrying his stuff. And you know what? A car came from behind, banged him, he fell into the ditch, you know. The family didn't expect him to live. They started to make the usual clothes, the black cloth. They started to do. You know what? Lo and behold, he recovered. He's really strong. And he continued to outlive my uncle too. He continued to live for another 25 years. Strong. So whenever I think of Caleb, I'm sure similar kind of caliber. And you know, for Caleb, taking Hebron was difficult. Why? Number one, the Anakims were there. They were the big people who actually frightened the Israelites. Number two, it was 45. Number three, he was 85 years old. Old already, lah. He should be retiring. But here is a person who did not retire, but finally got into the possession that he inherited, the possession that was supposed to be his. And here we find that the great secret is simply this, that in verse 24 of Numbers because he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. He followed the Lord wholeheartedly. In fact, three times we read this in Joshua 14, right? In verse 8, I followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Verse 9, because you have followed the Lord wholeheartedly. And then, of course, in verse 14 again, you know, Joshua gave Hebron to Caleb because he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. So let us follow the Lord wholeheartedly. I think the Malay song, which we sang, right? We are to follow the Lord wholeheartedly. Segalanya, correct or not? To give our all, berserah, segalanya, to give our all to the Lord. So it's important here that we continue to be like Caleb, who followed God wholeheartedly. You know, Caleb was a Kenizzite. Kenizzite was not a part of God, not part of the people of God. I think the father was Kenizzite. Somehow he became part of the people of God. You know, he tells me that the important thing is not how we begin in our Christian faith, but how we end. That's important. Because many of us don't start well. We trip, we backslide, we do things that does not please God and also our parents. But the important thing is we run and run well and finish for God. I think that's important because I want to encourage everyone, including the young people, to finish well for God. I remember people who have actually, you know, been in meetings who say, yes, I want to follow the Lord, but I don't see them today. And those of us who are reluctant, you know, scared to do so, somehow God, by His grace, has helped us to finish. And here we don't see a grumpy old man, but here in Caleb we see a glorious old man. One who is a tremendous example who finished strong for God. He started and finished strong. You know, in 1945, there's a story of two young promising evangelists. One was Billy Graham. The other was Chuck Templeton. Now, of the two, Chuck Templeton was the better preacher. And actually, when Billy Graham started preaching, Chuck Templeton had a larger crowd. But then it came to a point where he had doubts about the Word of God, the Bible as the Word of God. And as a result, he buckled in. He left the ministry. He became a journalist. He renounced his faith. He was unable to believe in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. He became an agnostic. And of course, he died from Alzheimer's. Lonely. Sad. But on the other hand, Billy Graham, not as well known as him, stayed faithful. And if you know Billy Graham's story, he also had this crisis of faith. Because at that point in time, a lot of attacks on the Bible is unreliable, etc., you know. And he had this crisis as well. But Billy Graham said, Lord, I trust and I believe the Bible as the Word of God. And after settling that issue, we all know and how God has continued to bless His ministry. And He finished. And He finished well. So let us, like him and Caleb, finish well for the Lord. We will all have our troubles. We will all have our difficulties. But let us encourage each other to continue to run and finish well for God. Yes, all of us, we have our setbacks. But let us be united to help each other grow and finish strong for God. The church should have a sincere love for one another. that we will continue to finish well for God. And finally, let me just tell you the story of Derek Redman. Derek Redman was a British runner, 400 meters runner, and at Seoul Olympic, he couldn't compete simply because he had an injury. And at Barcelona, he thought, well, at Barcelona, he will be able to compete and perhaps win the medal. And at the semi-finals, the gun went off. And he was running. And suddenly, he heard a snap. He fell. Then he thought to himself, no, I must finish. He got up and he hobbled. And as he hobbled, the father was there. He saw the son falling down. And what would fathers do? Son fall down, huh? No, of course not. Instinctively, he got up. He ran past the guards. He brushed the guard aside. And he came just, you know, about 100 yards, you know, from the finishing line. He came to the son and he held on to the son and said, son, we finish it together. And together, they reached the finishing line. I think it is important that as a church, together, we finish strong for God. I think it's important not to murmur, not to test, not to criticize, but to be a blessing to one another so that we can help one another finish strong for God. And I pray that when we do that, I'm sure the Lord will be very happy with all of us. Yes, when we fall down, I'm sure the Lord, like the Father too, will come round to us and say, son, there we'll finish together. You know, Caleb had a different spirit simply because he has the Spirit of God in him. Today we can finish strong like Caleb because we have the Spirit of God within us to strengthen us, to help us to be overcomers for the Lord Jesus Christ, to have the power of God for all perseverance and endurance with joy, as Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 1, so that as we finish, we will finish well and strong for God. And I urge you, brothers and sisters in Christ, in Pantai Baptist, to finish strong for God and for the glory of God. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that even as we have heard your word, we thank you that there's a courage of youth, there's a consistency of midlife, and there's a climax of faith in old age. Lord, we thank you that truly Caleb is an example of bringing people into the kingdom of God, into the promised land. Help us also, Lord, to bring people into the kingdom of God and to proclaim your gospel. So, Lord, we commit ourselves to you and say, help us to be like a Caleb. Fill us and strengthen us by the power of your Spirit, that we will have a different spirit like Caleb, as the Spirit of God in our lives, that we will follow the Lord wholeheartedly and finish strong for God. So, Lord, we commit our life to you now.